Mary Raber is going to share on the gift of hope. Nora Davis is going to share on the gift of forgiveness. Thomas Triano is going to share on the gift of peace. And Philip Sossaby is going to share on the gift of grace. And I felt to those four gifts for those four people. And so I just believe that God is going to just give them insight and some things to share. And then my plan is to just wrap up, at the end. And so anyway, I'm just excited because I asked them to share at least one or two scriptures and a testimony that God has, some things that God has taught them in that area. So we're looking forward to that. So we're talking about hope tonight. And so we're going to read 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13. I really felt like this is where, and I just kind of was praying about it because I was like, okay, Lord, what do you like? This is the verse that I felt to start on, and I wasn't sure where the Lord wanted to go from there. But He is so good to teach us through His Word. So if you want to stand, we're going to read 1 Corinthians 13:13, which says, "And now abide faith, hope, love. These three, but the greatest of these is love." Okay, you can be seated. So hope abides. That's what I want you to know first and foremost. If you put up the first slide, Jacob. Okay. So this is my first point, and we'll come back to that. Actually, can you go to the second one? There we go. Yeah, that was my fault. Okay, so abide means to stay. That's what that word, these three abide. Abide means to stay in a given place, state, relation, or expectancy. It means to abide, to continue, to dwell, to endure, to be patient or to be present, to remain, to stand, and to tarry. So that is what that word means. When it says that these three abide, it means they remain. And so that's important for us to understand. Caleb, whenever you're ready, you can come in. So I want to show you this. Bring your thing with you. The thing that's in my office. The thing on wheels. Yeah. So if you put up the next, the scripture, I want to show you this, John 14:23. Jesus answered and said to him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him." Nope. The suitcase. Yeah. So, "And my Father will love him." Now you see where we're going with this. "And we will come to him and make our home with him." It's talking about God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So when we choose to make Jesus our Lord, then Jesus comes to abide with us. Now notice, obviously Jesus doesn't bring an actual suitcase, but a picture is worth a thousand words. And I want you to have this picture in your mind that if you love him and you keep his word, that the Father will love you. Now that is another scripture, which I didn't think about until worship. So I'm going to look it up. I think it is 2 Corinthians 13:14, but I might be wrong. Cause I want to show you something, about this. Let's see. Yes, 2 Corinthians 13:14. And so this scripture says, "The love of the Father, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all." Because we just read John 14:23 says that if we love him, which the Bible says, if we love him, we will keep his commandments. So that is part of loving him. But if we do that, we will come. That's what Jesus said. We will come and we will make our home. When we moved to Okinawa, Rick moved there first because the military sent him. I was very upset because he is my brand new husband and the military sent him by himself to Okinawa, Japan. And so I literally only the second time I had ever flown in my life. I flew the first time right after we got married. The month after we got married, we flew to Mexico to visit his parents. The second time I flew to Okinawa, Japan by myself. And I had a sea bag to take my stuff and a box because I had a trunk, but it had rust on it because I got it at a yard sale and the airport wouldn't let me take it. So they said, "Here, you can put all your stuff in this box." And so so I had just my earthly belongings that I was taking with me. And so we needed, obviously, like I said, Jesus doesn't come with a suitcase, but he does come and abide. I want you to understand, hope abides because Jesus is hope. So understand that. And so come up here real quick, Caleb. 1 Timothy 1:1 says, and I shared this last Sunday morning, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and the Lord Jesus Christ, our hope. So Jesus is hope. And when he comes and abides, he brings hope with him. And we're going to talk about why sometimes as Christians, we don't feel hope. But one of the reasons I'm going to tell you right now is because we forget that he's abiding with us. The Bible said, Jesus said, I will never leave or forsake you. How would it change our lives if we picture Jesus beside us all the time? In every conversation, and every entertainment that we choose to take in, and every decision that we make, and the way that we treat our family, and the way that we speak to, you know, the person when we're driving on the road. Jesus is in the car with you. Just be aware. Those of you that struggle with road rage, Jesus can help you with that because he's there. So imagine though that he abides with us. We miss out on so much in the Christian life, on so much hope, on so much grace, on so much strength, on so much peace, because we just forget that he's there. We don't even think about it. And so he's going to sit down. And he said, you want me just to sit down in my costume? I said, yes. It's a picture because Jesus is here. When we were worshiping earlier, he was here. He is here. And so he is here. And so he is just going to, you can just leave that wherever. And then, yeah, it doesn't matter. Okay, I want to show you something. Luke 19, verses 5 through 10, tells the story of Zacchaeus. And so the story of Zacchaeus is people didn't like him because he was a tax collector. The Bible says that he was a short man, and because he was a short man, he wanted to see Jesus, and he couldn't see Jesus, and so he climbed up in a tree to see Jesus. I learned a song about it when I was little. But verse 5, we're going to pick up in verse 5 of Luke 19. It says, and when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him. So Jesus is walking past the tree and just looks up at Zacchaeus and sees Zacchaeus in the tree. I wonder what Zacchaeus was thinking. Was he like, oh, I didn't know he was going to notice me up here. You know, I don't know. But he says, he looks right at him. He says, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay. I've never noticed this before. That is the same word as abides. Remain, stay. You know why? Because I believe this is a picture of what happens when we get saved, when we really make Jesus Lord, which is what happened with Zacchaeus. And you can see there was an immediate change in his lifestyle and thinking. So it says, he said, I must stay at your house. So I wondered when I was thinking about this, because, you know, Jesus told his disciples, he said, hey, when you go into a place, if there's somebody basically that is at peace to let you stay there, then you stay there. Of course, people in that culture were very hospitable. It was, you know, to open their home. And so I figured Jesus, when he said this, he didn't maybe just go for dinner. Maybe he spent the night. Maybe he spent a couple of days. I don't know. I don't know how long he spent, but I believe he went there to stay at Zacchaeus's house. And so he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. But when they saw it, they all complained, saying, he has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner. Jesus often upset the religious people because he did things differently than they would have or thought that he should have. But Jesus, I mean, he just did what the Father told him to do, regardless of what the people thought. And that's what he did here. Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, look, Lord, this is important. I have learned to notice all throughout the Bible when people say Lord, because that word means supreme authority. And I used to think, God, like the Bible says in Acts 16:31, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved and your house. And honestly, growing up in the church, you see so many people that come in and serve God really strong for about 2 weeks. And then they go right back out. And I started to think, God, how can that little prayer change somebody's life? Like if they just believe. And I realized that scripture, when it says believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, that word Lord is very important, because it's got to be more than just believing that Jesus is God. The Bible says the demons believe and tremble. But when somebody makes Jesus Lord of their life and they start to do his commandments, now that doesn't mean that we get it all right every time, but it means that we start to put into practice the things that he's telling us, then we make him Lord, and he gives brings these changes in our lives. And so I believe Zacchaeus made Jesus Lord, and that's why he called. Look, Lord, he said immediately, I give half of my goods to the poor. It was known often that tax collectors, they charged people more than they needed to and then skimmed off the top. I don't know if that's what he was doing, but if it was, he made an immediate payback. And of course, in the Old Testament, if you stole, you had to pay back an extra. And so he said here, I give half of my goods to the poor, and if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold. So his relationship with Jesus immediately affected his material goods and his wallet. He said, God, if I'm going to give you half right now, this is the exact opposite of what we see with the rich young ruler. When the rich young ruler came, the Bible says Jesus looked at him and he loved him. And he said, go and sell all that you have and give to the poor. And the man went away sorrowful. And Jesus didn't even ask Zacchaeus to do this. He didn't say, hey, well, you can serve me if you give away half of your stuff. It was in Zacchaeus' heart. He said, Lord, half of my goods I'm going to give to the poor. Because when we really make Jesus Lord, it begins to impact our lives. It begins to change us. And that's what happened with Zacchaeus. Notice what Jesus said. Verse 9. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because he also is a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Just pray with me. God, we know that there are people in our county that need genuine salvation. And we pray, oh God, that you would allow us to live with you with the hope that comes from relationship with you, and that we would have opportunities to, as you lead and as you speak through us, see those that are lost be saved, we pray in Jesus' name. Because we know that it's your desire and your will that not any would perish, but that all would come to repentance. So we agree with your will, and we ask you to help us to be a part of it, from the children through the teenagers and the adults, God, wherever we are, that we would live in awareness of your presence, Lord Jesus, so that we could speak with your words of hope in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So salvation came and it remained. Hope comes with Jesus. But I have learned there are many things in the Christian life that are standing by, so to speak, in our lives. Caleb, if you come back up here. So, what we're looking at means what we're focusing our thoughts. Okay. So if you put up the next slide, look at eternal things and focus on hope. If we're going to live in hope, we have to look at eternal things. We have to fix our eyes. Hebrews 12:2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Because like we said, Caleb can be standing here, but I can just go, I don't know what I'm going to, well, Jesus, he can, you know, he's representing Jesus. Jesus is standing here and I am going through these things in life. God, I just don't know what I'm going to do. And I don't have the money for this thing. And I don't know what I'm going to say to this person. And I'm just overwhelmed with my life. And he's like, I'm right here. Now, there are times when I have had the Lord just, I feel like somebody will call me or, you know, I'll open a book and it's exactly, but often he is right. He's always right here. We just forget about him. Yes. Listen, if we will learn to walk with him, it will change our whole lives. I have a very close relationship with Lydia, and she lives in Kennesaw, but we FaceTime about every day. And she's been going through some stuff with her house that is beyond her control and not her fault. But because of that, she'll call me, and you know, in all caps, she'll text me, and then she'll call me, and we'll talk about, you know, what's going on. And if you know Lydia, she's a little intense at times. And so sometimes in her moments of stress and frustration, that intensity comes out. And the other day, a situation happened and that was very intense and she was very stressed out and she just got annoyed at me. And, you know, and we ended up, I was like, okay. And we hung up the phone. So then, like 20 minutes later, I get this phone call from Lydia. I need to call to apologize. I'm calling to apologize, she says. You know, I mean, listen, that is what our relationship with Jesus looks like. If we will really walk with him. See, because she walked with me through her stress. She overstepped a bit and got annoyed at me in the midst of the situation. And sometimes that's what we do with God. Sometimes if we, even when we know he's with us, we're like, Lord, I know that you're here, but I do not feel you. And I'm not sure what you want me to do, and I need you to help me. And sometimes we have to go back and apologize because maybe our attitude wasn't right, or maybe we overstepped even when we were trying to hear God. Maybe we said something wrong and we know we got in the flesh. But you know, as I love Lydia, and I didn't go, well, I'm not talking to you anymore today. You know, I love her, and I knew she would call me and apologize, and God knows our heart. I mean, he knows when we've gotten it wrong and we'll come and say to him, God, I missed it there. Would you forgive me? He's like, yes, yes. And he's right. He's right here. So we need to remember, because if I am not focused on the Lord Jesus, and how do we do that? Me and Janine were talking about that, because sometimes I say all the time, look at Jesus. And that's because that's what the Lord spoke to me. In a time when I was dealing with some real hard things, I heard the Lord Jesus. And I've said it before, but in case you've never heard me say it, it's a picture, a quote from a movie. And in the movie, the person says, just look at me. And I heard the Lord Jesus say, just look at me. And so for me, it has been life changing. But what does that look like? What does that mean? Number one, look at the fact that the presence of Almighty God is with you. Do not forget that his presence is there and that you can ask for his strength and his help. And just because you don't feel him doesn't mean that he's not there. Caleb is standing right beside me. I don't feel him. And if I'm not looking at him, I wouldn't even realize that he's here. But he's here. God's presence is there. Number two, we look at, thank you, Caleb, you can sit down. I might have you come back up, so don't take your outfit off. I just figured I'd let him sit rather than stand the whole time. So he's right there. The other way that we look at Jesus is he is the Word. We look at the Word and see, what does it say to me? What does God say about me? Because when God said, look, just look at me, I was like, okay, after, you know, as I kept trying to understand this, I'm like, well, what does that look like, Lord, in the script? Can you show me that in the scripture? And that's when he showed me Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher. The one who started the work and the one who will finish it. And then 2 Corinthians 3:18, which Janine shared with me, because often as people, we're like, no, I need to look at the problem so that I can fix it. I need to look at these issues that I'm having and these struggles that I need to look at all my weaknesses so that I'm going to fix it. And this is what I was thinking. And I'm like, Lord, it feels like I'm just ignoring, you know? But the Lord showed me 2 Corinthians 3:18 says that as we behold him, we are transformed into his image. If we would spend more time looking at the Lord and what his word says and recognizing who he is in our lives than we do at the problem, then God can show us the strategy to fix the problem. And he can do it in a lot quicker time. Because I'm telling you, he can bring a book to you. He can cause somebody to give you exactly what you need. Or you can spin your wheels reading every book, trying to find the right information. Let him lead you. He wants to. He's right there beside you. And so what we're looking at matters. 2 Corinthians 4:18 says, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. I have never seen Jesus physically standing beside me. It would be awesome, but I have not experienced that. But I know he's there because I look at the unseen. I know that I will see him in one day. And so we look at the unseen, but the things, yeah, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So we need to focus our attention on Jesus. The last thing, if you put up the next slide, knowing Jesus means learning to hope. This is a process. And I want to show you this in scripture before we close. So John 14, 21 through 23, we read verse 23 earlier, but I want to show you the verses leading up to it. Jesus said, "He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him." That word manifest means reveal. So as we love him and keep his commandments, he will reveal himself to us. He will start to show you how to walk with him and what he says about you and what he wants you to do in your life. When I was in college, I wanted to date this guy real bad. Like, I really liked him and I really wanted to date him. And I went to a Christian college and he was studying to be a pastor. And I, whenever I would go, because I would pray, you should always pray. Any of you who are in here that are single, even children, as you get old enough to have, you need to pray. Don't be dating somebody without asking Jesus, even if they're a Christian. Even if they go to church. There's lots of people we know that go to church that are not Christians. So I prayed and I would go up to the the prayer, whatever it was, prayer place. And I would go and pray. And whenever I would say, "God, can I date him?" And I would feel like just this, like, you know, like when your mom or dad looks at you and goes, and you're just like you just feel this like, oh, like that's what I felt in my heart. Like God was saying, no. And I multiple times I brought it back to the Lord and God kept saying, no, I am so thankful because A, that man was not this wonderful man sitting in front of me. Honestly, I have no regrets. If I had married him, A, second, to my knowledge, from what I've seen on Facebook, which was many years ago, he is not a pastor and not even serving God. God saved me from what I thought was a great idea. And so as we walk with him, he will learn to reveal himself to us. He will teach us and show us how to live this life. Judas, verse 22 in John 14, it says Judas, not Iscariot, which is an important distinction, said to him, "Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world?" So this disciple is like, well, how are you going to reveal yourself to us and not to the world? And Jesus explained the difference between relationship with him and just people that see Jesus but don't have relationship with him. Because that's when he said verse 23. And he said, "If anyone loves me and he will keep my word and my Father will love him and we will come to him and make our home with him." But listen, I'm going to tell you this because it's an important distinction. Jesus, if you have surrendered your life to the Lord Jesus, not that you're perfect, but that you are striving to live with him, even like I said earlier, even though he is here with you, if you focus on everybody and everything else, you will think, "God, why doesn't this work for me? How come I am struggling if you're right here with me?" Because we have to apply faith to what the Word of God says. The Bible says that the word to some of the people, I think it's in Hebrews 2, it did not profit them not being mixed with faith. Faith, the Bible says, is the substance of things hoped for. And if you will walk with the Lord Jesus, even when you don't understand, even when you don't feel anything, if you will praise God, if you will read your Bible, if you will spend time in prayer, laying out your needs and talking to him about what matters to you, even when you don't feel it, you will grow in relationship with him. And so I want to close with these verses. Romans 5, 1 through 5 says, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we also have access by faith into this grace in which we stand." Faith is such a huge part of the Christian life. If you wait until you feel it or you see it in the physical, you will miss out on what God is saying to you. And God can give you a picture of what he's saying to you, and you may not understand it. You're like, "I don't think that's going to happen. Like, I just don't think that that could be God. I don't think that that could be God speaking to me." And you can miss what he's saying to you. But he is so merciful, he will often keep bringing it back. and keep sending it and keep speaking it because he loves us and he's so good to us. Okay, it continues. And rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only this, but we also glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance, character. That word character, also in King James, they use the word experience, which personally I like better in this situation. So perseverance works experience or character. That's actually what the Hebrew or Greek word means. It means to test, to prove, to experience. And character, hope. Now, hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. So this expectation doesn't disappoint because the more that we learn to find our hope in Jesus, the more we will be able to experience hope. Tribulations are going to come into our lives. But I will tell you this, in my relationship with Lydia, when she was going through what she's been going through the past few days, we have made so many memories over, you know, through the relationship, through the troubles. That's what happens with us and God. If you will go through troubles with him by running to him and saying, Jesus, what are you saying to me now? How do I respond to this now? What are you doing now? And he will begin to show you. And through that, what happens is you gain perseverance and then you gain experience. And then you have your own stories to tell of what God did and how God spoke to you in that moment and what he taught you and how he walked with you. And then that causes our hope to grow. Now, we all go through times. The Christian life is, there are times when there are storms. And that's when we look in faith, knowing that God, this is a hard storm, but you're going to bring me through it. And we learn to focus on him and on his word and that his promises are true. Because if you will do that, eventually the storm will end. Now, another one might come eventually. I mean, I would love it if we could just go through life without any storms. That would be easy. But that's not really how that works. But what we do learn is we learn to walk with him. We learn our feet are planted. We're like a tree that the roots go down deeper every time that we choose to say, Jesus, you are my hope. And as we do that, then we will recognize that he is with us. And so I said that I want to just read one more scripture, Lamentations 3, verses 18 through 24. And I'm going to end with these verses. It said, and I said, my strength and my hope have perished from the Lord. Now, this was written by Jeremiah. He was a prophet, walked with God, but he went through some hard things and he experienced some hard things. So this is what he said. And I said, my strength and my hope have perished from the Lord. Remember my affliction and roaming, the wormwood and the gall. My soul still remembers and sinks within me. This I recall to mind. Therefore, I have hope. Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed because his compassions do not fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I hope in him. Those are words from somebody who has walked with the Lord and they have learned experience and they have learned hope through Jesus. Father, thank you for your word tonight. Thank you for God, just your promises. Help us to keep our eyes on you. Help us to find the hope that comes from your word. Lord, give us scriptures as we read your word that will remind us how to walk this out. And we thank you that your presence remains with us. In Jesus' name, amen.